Hallelujah. Open your Bibles, if you would, please, tonight. Let's start over here in Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs chapter 24. Amen. Glory to God. I tell you, I so value the divine connections that are in my life. And if you want to, there is rank in the kingdom, and so there's, when you want to think about the kingdom structure in rank, you know, the divine connections that are lateral with me, the other ministry offices, you know, those divine connections that I have, so thankful. And then those that I may have some measure of authority over, you know, so those are divine connections, you know, and I value those. And then got to spend about an hour with Pastor Nancy and Dr. Jacobs in our annual board meeting in an online, you know, Zoom call last night. And I just appreciate them. Amen. And their willingness to play that role and to be a trustee and to speak into our life. And but, you know, Pastor Nancy had made mention encouraging pastors to make sure that what you minister and what you feed the people is going to help them if their baby's sick in the middle of the night, you know. Help them to get, you know, the right kind of message, not to just impress people that you've studied deep things in the Bible. And so we endeavor to do that anyway, but I appreciate that encouragement. And that's what this is tonight, amen. Something that's vitally important that's going to help you live victoriously, live successfully, amen. Praise God. And so what I had in my heart to minister to us tonight, we'll just see where we go, is we'll just call it be strong. You know, the day that we've come to requires strength. Amen. I'm talking about the world's condition, the prophetic time frame, where we are in time. We've come to a day that requires strength. Amen. And thank God, I just finally had to stop. I was thinking and studying this afternoon about all the wonderful ways that God has made provision for us to be made strong. And He's given me a few to emphasize tonight, but the list is long of different ways that we can tap into divine flows that make us strong. Amen. And I just want to say to you, be strong, believer. Be strong, husbands. Be strong, wives. Be strong, young people. Be strong. Be strong in the Lord. You know, Peter, in his writings, told God's people, be strong. Amen. Paul, in his writings, repeatedly said, be strong, over and over and over again. He'd say, I was reading in my devotional time this morning, as he ended the first letter to the Corinthians, it says, be brave. Be strong, be immovable. That's how he ended that letter. Amen. And we need that message. We need that message. You know, we need to hear a man of God say, be strong. Amen. Glory to God. And you can be. You can be. And we're not talking about strong in ourselves and strong of ourselves. No, no, we're not called to live. I'm going to go ahead and pick this up because it's distracting me. Amen. Oh, you're distracted. Okay, get it. Pardon the interruption. All right, praise God. Amen. But no, we're not talking about living independent and being strong. No, the Christian call, our position is John's position at the Last Supper. You remember his position? Close to Jesus. Leaning into his bosom, yeah. Resting. And John's a man, you know, yeah. But he knows he's got God in the flesh there. Yeah. And he's not content to just be sitting by Jesus, but his posture is, I've put my full weight. I am depending on you, Jesus. That's not weakness. That is the epitome of what it means to live and be spiritually strong. Is to know that to be as strong as God intends us to be, it requires a dependent posture. It requires an understanding and a humility, amen, that like a, you know, there are strong fish in the ocean. Like ones you would not want to contend with. Amen. I have a very healthy fear for the ocean. And, but amen, you take a megalodon, if there is one still floating around out there. You take a great white shark out of the water, it's dead. It's dying. It will quickly be weak and it will die. Right? Because God made the fish to depend on a life source. There are strong plants in the ground. Amen. I've never been yet to see the redwoods, but someday I want to. I know, how many of you have seen the redwoods out in Northern California? Impressive, right? You could drive vehicles through the trunks of them. Huge trees, but as strong as they are, as immovable as they are, you take them out of the soil, they die. They die. Right? Because God made the plants to have to depend on a life source. And all the way back in Genesis, when God spoke and he wanted all the water creatures to be created, he spoke to the water. Yeah, bless you. He spoke to the water. When he wanted all the animals and when he wanted all the plants, he spoke to the soil. Why? He spoke to the life source. But when he created man, he didn't speak to the water. He didn't speak to the air. He didn't speak to the ground. He spoke to himself. I said he spoke to himself. And like the strongest of fish can't live separated from its life source. As strong as the redwoods are, cannot live outside of their connection with the life source. Amen? You and I cannot be alive. We cannot be vibrant. We cannot be strong if you take us out of God. And that's what sin and that's what the fall did. It took us out of God. But that's what the new birth repairs. That's what knowing Jesus fixes. He put us back into the life source. Amen? And in John 15, he tells us that we must abide in connected to him. So much so he said, you can do nothing without me. Right? We can do nothing without me. Jesus said. And so it is vitally important in these last days to be strong, to be able to be fruitful. Amen? To not become a victim or become prey or become a casualty in these last days. Amen? That we live our lives in Christ, that we live our lives in fellowship with Jesus. Amen? And that we tap into and we know about and we're actively doing our part to avail ourselves of all the different wonderful ways that God has made available so that we'll never be weak. Amen? That we'll always be strong. Amen? So I love this scripture here. It's challenging. Amen? In Proverbs. Proverbs 24 and verse number 10. If you don't have this one marked, I dare you to mark it. Amen? If you've got any slack in your chain, be prepared. It will jerk it out quite violently. Amen? And so we'll read it in a couple of different translations, but King James first. Proverbs 24:10 says, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Your strength is small. Do you know that when people become weak and weary, they fail, they give up and quit, they endure failure, it is never because the circumstance overwhelmed them. It is never because the circumstance was so great they couldn't do anything but fail. It takes humility, right, to accept that. But either the Bible's true or man's opinions are. And nobody likes to point the finger at themselves and say, wasn't God, is the devil, people, and I just didn't bring enough to the circumstance to be able to overcome it. Right? So notice where this scripture points blame to. If you faint in the day of pressure, in the day of trouble, in the day of adversity, there's a reason. And the trouble is not the reason. The economy is not the reason. Your preferred political party being out of power is not the reason. Your upbringing is not the reason. Your lack of education, your skin color is not the reason. If you and I as believers, if we're going to be Bible people, if we faint, if we fail, if we give up and quit, amen, In adversity, why is it? Read the word. If you just do it, your strength is small. Your strength is small. Amen. Let's be challenged further and just look at it from a couple of different translations. The New Living Translation says it this way. If you fail under pressure, your strength is too small. If you fail under pressure, your strength is too small. You know, Jesus faced more pressure as he faced the cross than you and I will ever face combined in 1,000 lifetimes. And yet that pressure, though it was so great, the weight of humanity's sin, the passion of the cross, facing death, knowing, you guys ever watch that Alone show? You ever watch that Alone show? If you haven't watched the Alone show, humor me. You should watch an episode or two. They put these people out in a 5-square-mile place in an extreme wilderness, and they get 10 survival items and a camera kit, and last one of the 10 standing get a big cash and money. And it is amazing how quickly people quit. I mean, so-called survival experts. I mean, I had one of the first seasons. Don't let me spend too much time on this. I have other good stuff to preach. But one of the first seasons, this guy talked about how ready he was and how trained he was and how experienced he was. And he caught a distant glimpse of a little black bear, and he picked up the sat phone and quit. First day, he was out. I'm like, you weenie, you are a bad representation of your survival training crowd. But it is amazing. They have water and they're out there, and some of them are eating, and they just cannot take their wife not being there by them. But here's the thing. You're out there and they have this sat phone on them all the time. You cannot be separated from it. And all you got to do is click one button and food comes. Warmth comes. And you can get the pressure to leave. When Jesus faced the cross, he had a sat phone to heaven. It says he didn't have to suffer any of that. How many of you would suffer the most extreme agony and pressure knowing right there with the click of a button, you could be out of it? It'd be done. It'd be over. But he didn't do that, everybody, because there was a mission to redeem humanity. And the only way to accomplish the mission was to face the pressure and press through it. Jesus didn't faint in his moment of adversity. You want to know why? Because he met the moment with strength. He met the moment with strength. And you and I, in whatever day is coming, whether we have victory or fail, it will depend on in what condition do we meet the moment. Will we meet the moment of sickness strong in faith for healing? Will we meet the moment of financial attack? Amen. And economic headwinds. Will we meet that moment financially strong in faith for finances? When fear grips an entire globe like it did with COVID, people found out whether they met that moment with strength or lack of strength. And I just want to encourage you, do what you need to do now in this season to get strong and learn how to maintain and stay strong, because there's trouble coming to the world, and we're in the world. Amen? But when those things and those winds and storms come, you know storms are coming. Jesus said so. He did. But if we built our life on the word, when the rain, let the rains come, the rain will come. The winds will blow and beat against our life, against our home. But Jesus assured us, if you did the right thing ahead of time and you chose the right foundation to build your life, your family on, your home will not fall. Are you with me? I'm preaching pretty good. Come on. Amen. The Message paraphrase of this verse says, if you fall to pieces in a crisis, there wasn't much to you in the first place. Yeah, golly, that's rough, isn't it? If you fall to pieces in a crisis, wasn't much to you. Wasn't much to you. Oh, praise the Lord. Well, we'll just move on. NIV. The NIV says, if you falter in a time of trouble, how small is your strength? How small is your strength? The God's Word translation says, if you faint in a crisis, you are weak. Wow. There's just nowhere to go. There's just, this verse leaves us nowhere to run, nowhere to hide, right? Right? Amen. Last one, the Proverbs 24:10 in the Complete Jewish Bible says, if you slack off on a day of distress, your strength is small indeed. You know, God has given us the tools by which we could face any adversity. Any adversity. Stand up under any temptation, any storm, any attack. Make us, Paul said in Philippians, he said, I have learned. I am able for, I'm ready for anything. I'm ready. How does he phrase that, somebody? He's equal to anything, ready for everything, because of Christ who strengthens him. See, Christ can strengthen us to the degree that we're equal to anything that comes. You know, if we will strive spiritually to grow and develop and stay with it, you'll get to a place you will fear nothing. You'll fear nothing. You know, how many of you have met people and they're healthy, but they fear cancer? The disease cancer, probably every one of us in some way has been touched by that horrific disease. My family has. And the thought of it terrorizes. It does. But you know, you could feed your faith so and become so strong in your covenant of health, amen, and healing, and the goodness of God and the power of God and the strength of your faith in His Word and His faithfulness, you fear nothing, including cancer. Amen. You don't fear the next pandemic. You don't fear plagues of any kind. Amen. You can establish yourself so rooted in your faith in any area, you don't fear economic collapse. You don't. Amen. Because you're strong. You just don't, you don't fear. And listen, if our world needs anything, it needs more men and women walking around, not haughty, not conceited, not arrogant, but people who are developed so in the love of God, they don't fear anything. You will stand out in this world. Amen. Because people in this day and age, they are heady, they are flaky, and they are mentally disturbed. I'm not making fun of that. I'm just saying they in their minds are over. And Jesus said, as far as signs of the last days, that men's hearts will literally fail them for fear because of the things they see coming on the earth. What we're learning in our adult Sunday school class, the Connect class from Brother Rick Renner's book, what's that book's called, The Last Days Survival Guide. He talks about the prophecy in 2 Timothy chapter 3 that believers would find a day in which they will feel like they are being bombarded by demonic attacks and circumstances from every side, and there is no escape. Amen. And yet in that, God has made provision for us, come on, to be victorious in these last days. Amen. I would love for you to carry this verse around in your thoughts for a little bit. You know, if I faint in the day of adversity, it's because my strength is small. Let this flow of meditation, you know, don't just let it be a 35, 40, 50 minute, whatever it's going to be, sermon, and then you let go of it. But just, you know, understand in your thoughts, adversity is coming. Days of adversity are coming in my life. And how am I living today? How is that preparing me for a future day of pressure? A future moment of pressure. Amen. You know, I believe that we should not, I'm talking about being spiritually strong. But I know God wants us to be strong in every respect. And you ought to be gaining in strength. Now, if you have to prioritize, you know, we're spirit, soul, body, we're social creatures, and we have finances to deal with. I would, if you're going to neglect anything, put being spiritually strong at the top of your focus. I'd rather you be spiritually strong and physically weak. Because if you will be spiritually strong in your development of your spirit, God's going to deal with you about whatever you're doing to not take care of your body. The other issues will line up if you take care of your spirit. Being spiritually strong will not let you be mentally weak. It won't. Amen? But it's very difficult to be physically strong, financially strong, soulically strong, relationally strong in this day and hour and not be spiritually strong. To have that piece missing. That's a corner piece, baby. That's just something you cannot miss. But nevertheless, God wants you to be spiritually strong, but He wants you to be strong in your soul. Strong in your soul. How do I get strong in my soul? You got to renew your mind. You got to work on this. You want your life to change. You got to work on this. Amen. You feed the word of God into here, but as you do that, it's going to address this, the mind. Some people are emotionally weak. They are emotionally weak. They are mentally weak. They cannot do anything spiritual or integrous under mental pressure. They run to sin. They break down. They make terrible decisions because they're not strong mentally. Well, I'm not picking on that. Work on that. You don't have to stay that way. Right? And you don't need a pharmaceutical company to help you through that. Amen? God wants you to be strong in your will, strong in your mind, strong in your thoughts, and strong in how you're managing your emotions. And did you hear that phrase? Managing your emotions. But then you have a body you live in. Right? And God wants you to be physically strong. He does. He wants you to be physically strong. Now, I was driving over there kind of thinking about that progression of areas where He wants us to be financially strong. He wants our families and our marriages to be strong. Right? And I got to thinking about, you know, so many people, bless their hearts, they're weak everywhere. They have bad physical habits. They're not doing anything to take care of their body. Listen, there's going to come a time where you're going to meet a moment that requires physical strength. Are you going to have the stuff when you meet that moment? Do you want to be able to move when you're 80? You know, I remember stretching in basketball pre-practice, and I could do that butterfly, you know, sit where you sit down on your boots, honey, and bring your heels in, and my knees would lay flat on the floor. You would tear something if you did that to me today. You would tear something I don't want torn. But you know what? I've been taking time at the gym to work back towards the floor. Maybe I don't have to go all the way back to the floor, but there's no reason just because I'm 51 that I can't, you know, have some flexibility about it. Amen? You know, some people, again, like I said, they're soulically weak. They're mentally weak, and they're not doing anything about it. They're not doing anything about it. People are financially weak, and they're just going from day to day, and they're not doing anything about that. Well, let me say this because time is marching on. Weakness is dangerous. You need to see it that way. Turn with me to 1 Peter, real quick. 1 Peter chapter 5. Weakness is dangerous. What do people that teach self-defense? One of the principles I understand that they teach is situational awareness. And is this right, Ken? Somebody, Lon, somebody help me. How you walk through a crowd. How you carry yourself. If you look weak and clueless, you are a what? A target. I said, you're a target. But if you are fit and your head is up and you are walking confidently and your head is on a swivel and you're not fearing anything, but you're watching and you're willing to make eye contact with the weirdo to let them know they're weird. See, you will, women, come on, kids, you will project something that says, there are easier targets out there. Leave me alone. I firmly believe this principle is true in the spirit realm. That weakness in the spirit attracts evil spirits. It invites demonic attack. We have scripture for this, right? It'll sound familiar to you. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, do you see that? Be reminded, everyone, we have an adversary. Your adversary, the devil, roams around like a roaring lion. I've moved over to the Amplified. In fierce hunger, seeking someone to seize upon and devour. So we have an adversary in the spirit. And all he lives to do is steal, kill, and destroy in every area he can. And it says he's seeking those whom he might seize upon and devour them. This is a spiritual observation. Do you know that you're being observed in the unseen realm? I said you're being observed in the unseen realm. And so the instruction from the Holy Ghost through Peter in verse 9 says, withstand him. King James says, resist him. But I like the Amplified rendering. It says, be firm. That sounds like strong. Be firm in the faith against his onset. And I love these words, rooted, established, strong. Rooted, established, strong, immovable. When Rex, my son, was in those years of doing jiu-jitsu, one of the things they worked on almost every class was what they called base. Remember base? Base. Anybody know what base would be? So when you're about to have a conflict with someone, whether it's in a competitive jiu-jitsu match or on the street, base was, I'm taking up a position, you can't move me. I have taken up a stance where I am ready to encounter a blow. But base means this is mine, I'm not moving. Amen. And in the spirit, we can take up a base stance against the devil. Amen. This is my ground. Health and healing is my ground. Supply and prosperity and provision is my ground. Peace, that's my territory. Amen. And I'm going to take up a base stance on the peace of God. And I'm not going to let worry, fear, anxiety, bad reports move me off of my fear, off of my faith, off of the peace of God. Joy is my flow. Amen. Joy is my flow. Amen. And I'm taking up this stance. Ooh, glory. Rooted, established, strong, immovable. The last word there is determined. Determined. And Noah Webster defined determined this way. Ended. Someone who's determined, the first word Noah Webster used to define the word determined is ended. The next word he uses is decided. Someone's determined, they've decided. OU versus Texas this year. Close game. Texas drives the ball down to the 1 yard line. They have a first down. But bless God, my Sooners just decided. I hope you're watching, Pastor Dennis. Praise God. My Sooners just decided you're not scoring. First down, boom, no. It was ended. Second down, boom, no. Loss on the play. Third down, boom, no. Fourth down, they go for it. You're going to get in, right? I mean, this is Texas O-line. No, because my boys were determined. They said, you are not, the ball is not crossing this line. Amen? And listen, you've got to be like an OU Sooner in the spirit, baby. I mean, come on. You've got to draw a line in the sand. This is everything in the promises of God, and everything regarding the blessed life is mine in Christ. And Satan, I've already decided you're not taking that from me. I'm not yielding any ground to you spiritually, physically, financially, relationally. You're not having my kids. You're not having my marriage. Come on. And you've got to be determined. And you've got to stay determined when things feel bad for more than a day or 2 days or a while. You've got to hang in there and be decided. The word determined means fixed, settled, resolved, and firm. Firm in purpose. Amen. So notice, if you, I love those scriptures, 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9, we have an adversary. And notice the first thing Peter said is be sober. That literally means be serious. Be serious about your life. Be serious. It doesn't mean be a down in the dumps kind of person all the time, but we need to be serious that we understand we have an adversary walking around. Amen. And he's like a, he's not a lion, but he's like one. Well, a lion on the prairie, and let's say they come across and they target a herd of zebra. Amen. Well, is that lioness? Are those lioness, are they going to go after the most fit, fast, strong, agile, watchful, and attentive zebra? No, they're lazy. And you know the devil's lazy too. He wants to eat cheap. He does. He does. He wants to eat cheap. And he's lazy. So the one he's seeking whom he may devour, who do you think it's going to be? Well, in the natural, how does that work? The old, the decrepit, the sick, the lame, the slow, or how about the unwatchful? The distracted zebra that doesn't stay with the pack, that doesn't listen to the head zebra's call. You know, when he gives out whatever, however that sound zebras make, I don't even know, amen, that there's danger around, but little distracted zebra is off over here looking at the shiny object. He's going to be lunch. Amen. There's a lot of Christians distracted, of course, not paying attention to the shepherd's calls for danger. They wander away from the local church. They wander away from their pack. And they're weak. They're not doing anything on their own to be fit, to be watchful, to be alert. And the enemy lays hold on their life. So weakness is dangerous. But strength is a deterrent. How many of you would just like the devil to just oftentimes pass you by because you don't look like an opportunity? I think that we could spare ourselves many targeted attacks of the enemy just by practicing spiritual strength as a lifestyle. And that when the devil tries to target us, he finds us strong, fit, ready, clad with the armor of God. We did not leave our shield of faith at home. Amen. We did not forget where our sword was. We actually tied on our sandals of peace. And we're ready for the day. The Lord is helping us. I am just trying to encourage you, be strong. Be strong. Amen. Be strong. Here's another bad thing about weakness. Weakness robs us of harvest. Weakness robs us of harvest. Evidently, it takes strength to harvest. It takes strength to harvest. Galatians chapter 6, around verse 9, says that be not weary in well-doing, for we shall reap if we do not faint. So see, being faint will keep us from harvest. Being faint will keep us from harvest. Therefore, if I'm strong, I'm able to harvest. I'm ready to harvest. I'm positioned to harvest because I'm strong. Let me quote a scripture. You don't have to turn there, out of Isaiah 37. Isaiah 37 verse 3 said, this is the prophet speaking, and it says, this is what Hezekiah says. Today is a day filled with misery, punishment, and disgrace. We are like a woman who is about to give birth, but doesn't have the strength to do it. You started something by getting born again, by accepting Jesus. And I'm assuming you don't want to go back to the ranks of the unsaved and the damned. But you started something when you got born again and began this journey. And there are things in our spiritual life that we're to be birthing and fruit that we're supposed to be producing. Well, when a woman gets pregnant, she started something. Right? And as nature takes its course, she will come to the moment of birth. What if she meets the moment and doesn't have the strength to deliver without medical intervention? So Isaiah is using this analogy to describe the nation of Israel as a whole because of their waywardness, their unfaithfulness, their lack of spiritual diligence, their ignorance and unwillingness to follow God and His Word and His ways. They had come to a day, and what was the life they described? A day of misery, a day of punishment, a day of disgrace or embarrassment. Why? Because their lack of strength spiritually had shown up. Now God in His mercy, it's amazing to me how merciful God is. I watch people, what they do and how they live. And they'll go years and it looks like they're getting away with it. But the moment comes where they come to that moment that demands spiritual strength. And they have none. Have not. And at that point, they're going to pay the price for all of their fun of not doing the diligent work that faithful Christians should be doing every day. Amen? I don't want to ever meet that kind of moment and come to a day of misery, punishment, and embarrassment, not because I came to a moment I couldn't overcome, but I just didn't have the stuff to overcome it because of my negligence. Amen. Amen. Another thing about weakness is weakness hinders progress in the plan of God. In the call of God, don't you want to progress? God's got greater things, greater blessings, greater things for all of us. But to get to those greater things, we have to progress. You know, when you feel physically weak, what do you feel like doing? Nothing. I'm glad to know you're like me. When you really feel weak, what do you want to do? I had all this stuff on my to-do list today. Ain't none of it getting done. I am laying down. Well, see, weakness hinders productivity. Weakness hinders fruitfulness. Weakness hinders progress. And if you really want to not live stuck where you are in life and in spiritual things and in the blessings of God, then you've got to gain enough fuel in your spiritual tank, amen, to propel you further down life's call, down the road of life's call. So I want you to see, do you see weakness as a danger? Weakness can rob us of harvest. Weakness hinders progress. And I'm going to make this statement. You don't necessarily have to write it down, but don't let it get away from you. The curse gains entrance through the open door of weakness. The curse gains entrance through the open door of weakness, but spiritual strength keeps it shut. I'm going to say that again. The curse gains entrance through the open door of spiritual weakness. But being spiritually strong shuts the door. I don't have the reference here, but it is in Proverbs. And I'm almost done, everybody, so hang in there with me. Be strong. Be strong to finish the sermon. Amen. I love this scripture. It says, the strong spirit of a man will sustain him in sickness or bodily disease. The King James doesn't exactly read that way, but that's its meaning. Other translations says that. The strong spirit of a man sustains him in sickness. When medicine can't, when vitamins can't, when nutrition can't, when surgery can't, when the medical fails, the strong spirit of a man sustains him in sickness. So see, the strong spirit of a person keeps the door shut to sickness. Can't prevail against me. But if the Bible says, but those who, the Bible says in another place, I'm mixing all my Proverbs here, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but sorrow of the heart drieth the bones. In other words, right, being strong, and I'm at ahead of myself here, but joy is one of the ways God has given for us to be strengthened. Uh-huh. Yes. Nehemiah 8:10 says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Now, most people could quote that verse, amen, but do you know that there's an instruction in that verse before that phrase? Nehemiah says, I command you, sorrow not. Sorrow not. The word there is grieve, or to be mentally distressed. Nehemiah says, do not grieve. Do not allow yourself to be mentally sorrowful. The joy of the Lord is your strength. So when we come to situations that make us feel heavy and depressed and down and gloomy and all negative and all of that, remember what Nehemiah said, do not do that. Do not grieve. Instead, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Well, okay, the joy of the Lord is my strength, so it's just going to show up. No, you have to joy. You have to joy to tap the strength. In other words, what am I talking about? You have to express joy. Expressions of joy tap the strength that's in joy. That's why Paul said in Philippians from prison, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. You need to rejoice more when you feel like crying than at any other time. When it looks like you're defeated and it's over, you might as well throw in the towel. That's when you joy. That's why joy is serious business. Amen. The joy of the Lord is one of the ways. Amen. But see, a merry heart, that's joy. One that is expressing joy, that doeth good even to the body. It doeth the body good, like a medicine. But sorrow of heart dries the bones. It brings it. So, you see that weakness is an open door for the curse. But being strong keeps it shut. I'd rather avoid the curse of lack. I'd rather avoid the curse of tragedy and accidents. Amen? So listen, as I get ready to close here, believer, it is worth the price you're going to pay to get strong. It's worth it. Because you will end up not having to go through things. You will, right? You will not have to go through things. But you will have to pay a price, amen, to be strong. You have to pay a price to be mentally strong, financially strong, physically. There's nothing free. And spiritual strength isn't going to come on you and be in your life just because you come to church here. Amen. That's why Paul said, exercise yourself toward godliness. So let's close with a couple of highlights about other methods that you could tap into, amen, to never be weak and to, in fact, be made strong. Well, number one, the Word of God. The Word of God is food for your spirit. Don't make me quote Brother Hagin now. Amen. And he was quoting somebody else that says, no wonder Christians are so spiritually weak. You know, they only give their spirit one cold snack a week. You know, some dry sermon at some church. And that's their only exposure to the Word of God. No wonder they're weak. Amen. You don't eat food, you're going to eventually get weak. Well, you cannot be spiritually strong if you don't eat food. You got to eat manna. You got to read your Bible. You got to meditate in the Scriptures. And nothing, nothing replaces that. Nothing. Amen. Nothing replaces that. Another flow by which we can all be made strong is called waiting on the Lord. Just bring your weary self. And don't try to fake it. Don't try to just act like, you know, David fighting Goliath. You're weak. Just own it. God knows you're weak. But have enough sense to drag your weak self into the presence of God. You know this passage, right? Isaiah chapter number 40, verse 28. It says, have you not ever heard? Have you never understood? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. He never grows weak. He never grows weary. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. He gives power to the weak. He will never berate you for being weak. Just drag your weak self into his presence and set yourself down at his feet. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youths, young people will become weak and tired, and young men will fail or fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. This is called the divine exchange. You come to Him and you give Him what you are and what you have. And He will impart to you what He is. Just turn to Him. You don't have to be in a physical posture. You don't have to have a designated place for prayer. Those are good. But I tell you, if you're weak, here's how you get into that flow that I've just read to you. You turn to Him. You just turn. You turn to Him out of your heart. I love what Pastor Nancy's been saying recently. I've heard her say, the presence of God doesn't come by earning. It comes by turning. And God doesn't grant His presence because we've been good or faithful. We can't earn His presence. And any that come to Him, He will in no wise cast out. So His presence isn't experienced by earning. It's experienced by turning. And there have been times where I was trying to quit. I had drafted my resignation, signed it, and delivered it to the Father. But in that moment, I turned, and He met me and gave me new strength. He refreshed my spirit. He worked in me a new want to. He ministered to my emotions. You ever been there? You haven't lived very long in Jesus if you've never been there. Just hang in there. You will. But all you have, isn't it wonderful to know? It doesn't matter how long I've done it wrong. If I want to begin for things to change, all I have to do is turn. And we will. When we turn, He will meet us. He will meet us. So I've already talked to you about the joy. Where's Reverend Siegel? We need him. But anyway, you're stuck with me. The Word. Feeding on the Word, waiting on the Lord, praying in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit is a divine method by which we can recharge. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue, the Bible says, edifies himself. And you've heard the Greek, right? Dr. P.C. Nelson, a Greek scholar, said they didn't have the technology back then at the time of the writing to really express the meaning of the Greek, but we have it today. The Greek word there, edify, literally means to charge like you would a battery. So when you give yourself to speaking with other tongues, you are charging your spiritual battery. And the more you do it, the stronger you'll get. I said, the more you do it, the stronger you'll get. As I've interacted with Reverend Comel, one of the things that he repeatedly just comes out of his mouth as he's testifying, he'll tell me about a miracle that God did and how God used him in ministry. Or, you know, that some guy took out $5,000 worth of labor and took out trees and just donated it, gave it to him for free. That's a miracle, right? That's amazing. Yes. Who takes out massive trees, $5,000 worth of labor, and just does it for free? Anyway, when he tells me stuff like that, he'll say, you know, Pastor Chris, we see more happen when I spend time praying in tongues. Is that right? You tell me. I'm not a liar. That's what you tell me. When I give, he said, the more I give myself praying in other tongues, the more I see God do. Well, come on, we could all tap into that flow. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I could give you some more, but if you just tapped into just any one flow, I haven't talked about his grace. Paul was crying out to God, I don't think I could deal with this devil anymore. And God reminded him, son, My grace is sufficient for you. We have His grace. We have His presence. We have His word. We have the Ephesians chapter 3 prayer. Oh, Father God, I pray as I bow my knees before the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ that you would strengthen the believers with might by your Spirit in their inner man. We have the Ephesians 3 prayer. We have the joy of the Lord. There's never a reason why we have to meet a moment of trial or pressure and fail. And if we do, we know why now. Our strength is small. But the assignment for all of us from this day forward is, I'm going to live my life in such a way. I'm going to lay down the habits in my life so that I'm always gaining in strength, so I'll never meet a moment that I'm not ready to conquer that, me and God. Amen. And you'll be in a position when others, because not everybody around us is doing the right thing, but God loves them. And we'll have strength enough for ourselves and to reach down to someone who's fallen and say, you know what? God's in His mercy's given me enough strength to get you back on your feet.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.